Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Angelo sent me a story. It's about a case I've not heard of. It's a trial. And apparently, near where it's happening in Arizona, it's a big deal. And I apologize for not knowing about this, but there's trials going on all across America right now, and there have been since time immemorial, and we'll continue to have them in the future. And so what made this trial hit the news, at least this story, is what happened in the courtroom with the judge getting upset about how long the trial is taking. Now, it's a criminal trial. Judge gets upset about how fast it's not going and warns the attorneys that they need to pick up the pace to the point where he tells one attorney, a defense attorney, you get 5 minutes to cross-examine that witness and then you're done. And when she objected, he goes, fine, 4 minutes. Now, that might seem funny to some people, and we've all seen that before, where the coach is yelling at some kid, going, you gave me some lip, go run 10 laps. Bite me. Okay, 20 laps. Oh, yeah, screw you. 30 laps. That's actually, in context, that can be funny. But when a judge tells an attorney, you got 5 minutes to cross-examine this major witness, the attorney goes, I need more time. Judge goes, don't argue with me. Now you got four. The reduction from 5 to 4 would appear to be punitive. Who is he punishing? Well, presumably he's doing it because the attorney asked, so he's punishing the attorney. Except the attorney represents a defendant who's entitled to constitutional rights afforded him or her by the Bill of Rights. Oops. Talk about grounds for an appeal. So we'll talk about this, but in more detail here, the judge in this murder trial asked the attorneys to pick up the pace. The defense attorney says limiting her time will violate his constitutional rights. And so J.D. Wallace wrote this for KOLD.com. Angelo sent it, thanks a lot. The judge in the murder trial is telling attorneys to pick up the pace. The man is charged with second-degree murder for the shooting death of another person on his ranch back in 2023. The judge said that Thursday that the trial was scheduled to last 4 weeks, but has already gone 3 weeks and the state hasn't rested yet. So recently the jury was scheduled to visit 14 locations at the scene where this happened and walk around it, so that's going to take some time. That visit could help support or question eyewitness testimony about the locations of events and help the jurors see what the man and his wife saw the day that the victim was killed. So Thursday morning, the defense cross-examined Sheriff's Office detective about the reliability of eyewitness statements. The distance from the border wall is much further than an eyewitness said, and the way the eyewitness described the scene would have placed him on the other side of the ranch house where the shooting took place. There seemed to be problems there. So before the jury entered the courtroom, the judge said the trial is taking longer than expected and that he would start limiting how long questioning can be, to which defense attorney Brenna Larkin contested. The judge said, call the witness to the stand. We're not going to question a witness anymore on that particular point. You have 5 more minutes with this witness on cross-examination. The attorney says, judge, I have to object. This witness is very crucial to defense. I've never been limited to just 5 minutes on cross. And the witness testified to all sorts of involvement in the case. This is one of the defense's main witnesses that we have to get to. Limiting me to 5 minutes of cross-examination with this witness limits my client's constitutional rights. The judge then said, now it's 4 minutes. Call the witness. And by the way, her objection didn't take a minute. The state is expected to rest this week. The defense said it could need 2 days for its witnesses, which include a sheriff and possibly the defendant. And that's the entire story. So you might be wondering, are there rules on how courtrooms are operated? What if I decided to cross-examine somebody and in the idea of a filibuster, started just asking questions? So I pull out an old-fashioned phone book and I turn to the A's and say, hey, by the way, do you know Aaron? Guy has the improbable name of Aaron. Gets to be first in every phone book. No, I do not. Do you know Benjamin Aaron? No, I do not. Do you know Cletus Aaron? No, I do not. Do you know David Aaron? And I just do that for the entire phone book. Sooner or later, someone's going to object and go, what's the relevance of any of this? It appears that Mr. Leto is just wasting time. Yeah, and Your Honor, my client's guilty as heck, so we got nothing better to do but to keep him out of jail for a day. I'm going to read the phone book. Okay? Obviously, there are limits. But what are those limits? And so most states have got court rules that say here's how court will be operated. And it describes not just the methods for filing motions and so on, but it'll also say how trials are conducted. And it'll say, for instance, whether or not the prosecution goes first or who goes second, or is there a rebuttal on the opening versus a rebuttal on the closing? Things like that. Things like that. Okay, those will be spelled out in the court rules. And there's almost always a catch-all in there that says that the judge is given, in essence, supervisory or administrative control, whatever you want to call it, over how the courtroom and the court trial itself is conducted. That is at the discretion of the judge. But the judge still has to do things that don't impinge on the defendant's rights guaranteed under the Constitution. And so you're entitled to a fair trial. So if I was this attorney, and the judge said, you get 4 minutes, she's already objected, there's still a couple things you can do that will really help you. And anytime you object, and a judge denies your objection, you want to put into the record what it was that you would have brought in had you been allowed. So here, you need to object at the end when the judge goes, you're done. You go, Your Honor, I need to make a record. Judge is going to get pissed off at this, by the way. And you go, I need to make a record to indicate what I would have asked had you allowed me. Now, the judge might say, I'm not going to let you do that. At which point, boom, you can now sit down knowing on appeal, you can say, I had a whole list of questions I was going to ask. The judge didn't even let me tell him what they were. And so there's a thing in the law called an offer of proof. An offer of proof. And what that is where you show a court what you would put into evidence, were you allowed to do so. So what often happens is a party's attorney will ask a witness a question. Other side objects. Judge goes, I'm going to sustain the objection. Move on. You go, Your Honor, may we approach? You approach the bench, the jury can't hear. And you say, here's the problem, Your Honor. This witness, if asked, will testify to the following things. Judge goes, I don't care. Not going to let you do it. Your Honor, these things are all relevant. They ought to be admissible. They're extremely important to the case, and they should get in. Judge goes, I don't care. And you say, okay, I would like to make an offer of proof. And the judge could say, I'm going to let you do that. They take the jury out. You ask your questions. Witness gives their answers. And then the judge hears what the person would testify to in an offer of proof. Now, they're very, very rare because usually a judge will see that, oh, that does make sense. But if a judge doesn't, but allows the offer of proof, you now have a record that you can take up on appeal and go, I had a witness who was going to testify to this. The judge wouldn't let it in. And so that's what you do. But you might say, but Steve, what if the judge says no? The point is you asked. And on appeal, you could always say, I offered to make an offer of proof. The judge said no. Judge said no. And the Court of Appeals is going to go, okay, based on what the offer of proof might have shown, maybe this is grounds for an appeal. And so that's the danger that the judge is running. Because you think it's a waste of time to let this person ask a half hour's worth of questions instead of 5 minutes. The difference here is 25 minutes. If this case winds up with a guilty verdict up on appeal and spun around because of this, you only get 5 minutes, now it's four business, you're going to waste more time than 25 minutes. More time. Now, I will tell you that I was involved in a case years ago where a judge gave somebody a rock-solid, drop-dead deadline on testimony, but it was a civil case. And I represented somebody in an extremely big case. Case wound up resolving itself well into six figures. Long, long time ago. It was not a car case. Long time ago. And my client, the plaintiff, the defendant said, we want to take your client's deposition. Not a problem. So we go and sit in their office and a court reporter comes in and I'm there and they're there and they get to ask her questions. We were there for 8 hours on day one. At the end of the day, I go, how much more do you guys have? And the woman goes, two more. I go, so you need 24 hours, 3 days to depose my client. And she goes, yes. I go, that's crazy. I go, some of the stuff you guys are asking is just ridiculous. I mean, we're trying to help you here, but we won't go crazy. So I said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to object after tomorrow because I can't see you guys needing her for more than 2 days. So all morning long, and the questions were about as dumb as, do you know Aaron? Do you know Bob Aaron? Do you know Cletus Aaron? It was like that. They were clearly trying to punish my client for filing a lawsuit, so they're going to just depose her for 16 hours over 2 days. And so at the end of the second day, towards the end, I during a break, I said, by the way, guys, just to let you know, we're not doing a third day of this. This is a waste of time. You know it, I know it. The court will agree with me on this one. The law firm that was handling this was from out of state. And they didn't know the judge as well as I did or their local counsel did. And I knew the judge wasn't going to allow this. And so they said, we're going to bring a motion to compel and ask for sanctions against you personally, Mr. Leto. I said, fine, I'll see you in court. Went into court, objected to their motion, filed a response. And the attorney starts arguing about how I had cut this deposition unreasonably short at 2 days. And the judge looked at the attorney and said, you're from Chicago, aren't you? And at that point, I knew I had won the motion. And there's another attorney standing next to her, goes, well, Your Honor, I'm local counsel. Judge goes, there's no reason to take someone's deposition for more than 16 hours. This is ridiculous for this type of case. And now, the Chicago attorney does the old, but here's what I'd like to know, and I didn't get to this in the last 2 days. And she threw out a couple questions, and the judge goes, anything else? The attorney goes, those are the most important things. The judge goes, you get 1 hour. 1 hour. And then the judge turns to us and says, you guys can start a stopwatch the second your client is sworn. And at 60 minutes, you can get up and walk out. That's my letting you know that right now. They get 60 minutes. You can literally get up, say goodbye, and walk out. He goes, I don't care if they're in the middle of their last question. I don't care if your client's halfway through an answer. Get up and walk out at 60 minutes. So, thank you, Your Honor. As we're walking out, I turn to the attorney. I go, so do you want to schedule that? And she goes, nah, don't bother. I was right all along. It was just a hassle. But the point here is that I understand the judge's frustration. We've all seen trials that have dragged on too long. I can think of a couple of well-publicized trials that dragged on way too long. And so the problem isn't a clock. It's not like a shot clock or a play clock that you have to do this by. You have to, as a judge, start watching for the attorneys covering the same ground or spending too much time looking through the notes, or that kind of stuff. But also, you know of a witness is important. They might take more time. Some witnesses, not so much. But to literally say you get 5 minutes for this witness, 8 minutes, that's ridiculous. So up on appeal, if this were to go there, this case very well could get spun around by a court of appeals saying, you can't do that. Tell somebody they got 5 minutes when they object, say, fine, you got four. So if I say, can I make an offer of proof? Does that cut me down to three? You know, so it's a crazy case. We'll see what happens, but maybe up on appeal. K-O-L-D ran it. J.D. Wallace wrote it, and Angelo sent it to me. Thanks a lot. Judge in the murder trial asked attorneys to pick up the pace to the point where he said, you get 5 minutes to do your cross-examination. Oh, you don't like that? You get four. Crazy. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. At least we were lost in the right direction this time.